Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, citizen viewers, and all children of God who attended the worship online. This is the 69th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I explained the first half of Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. I explained why God allowed the crafty serpent to stay in the Garden of Eden. The clay from which God created the serpent contained the property of the developing into cunning when exposed to the darkness, into the wisdom when exposed to the light. The serpent was very wise while in the Garden of Eden, surrounded by light, and was loved by Eve for a long time. Meanwhile, Satan kept thinking of a plan to cause Adam to commit sin. Satan kept sending a signal of darkness into the Garden of Eden in the domain of light, but it was a dinosaur that accepted it. Because of this, the dinosaurs rebelled against God, and Satan was able to gain a bit of the confidence. During the dinosaur incident, the actual target was Adam. To tempt Adam and make him fall, Satan first approached the dinosaurs that were close to Adam and loved by him. However, dinosaurs were not wise. They were very simple-minded and they were reckless. They just kept on pushing until they got what they wanted. And so, as they were having to eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, God punished them. After this incident, Satan began to look for a wise being. Satan set up a plan even more craftily to bring down Adam. Then Satan saw that Adam's wife, Eve, was close to the serpent, and the serpent was very crafty. So Satan used the serpent as its instrument. Of course, the serpent didn't listen to the voice of Satan from the beginning. Satan set the serpent as the target and sent the signal of the attribute of darkness for a long time. Then the serpent eventually was lured into it. Dear brothers and sisters, before you commit a sin, especially a sin that leads to death, you will be tempted many times. There are people who think about 5, 10, 15, 20 times and just give up in pursuit of their own benefits. The servant's cunning nature served as the antenna to receive the darkness sent by Satan. In this way, once a servant made a contact with Satan, it continued to accept Satan's thoughts. If it's untruth or dark, you should not even assess it. It's very important to block it from the beginning. Don't lend an ear, don't listen. So if it's the loss of the eyes, if it's untruth, don't listen, don't see, and don't speak, right? But if you do that, you will be connected to the Satan. Soon, the servant ended up truly becoming a slave to Satan. Therefore, from this point, what the serpent said was Satan's saying. Now, Genesis chapter 3, 1 says that the serpent questioned Eve about something. Satan approached the woman through the serpent. By the way, Satan didn't approach the man Adam directly. Why was that? At the time, Adam was the ruler who controlled both the first and the second heaven. His authority and the dignity was very great. All the beasts of the land obeyed Adam, loved Adam, and followed Adam. Therefore, it was not an easy job for the serpent to come close to Adam directly to tempt him. Of course, the Satan's ultimate goal was Adam, but the serpent could not dare to come directly before Adam and say something. Even if he had done it, Satan knew all too well that Adam would not have been easily deceived. And so Satan chose to deceive Adam directly through the woman who was loved by Adam. Satan planned to first tempt his wife Eve, and then to tempt Adam through her. In the end, Adam was tempted by closest one who was loved most by him, and eventually he fell. The cunning snake's plan has now succeeded. There are still many cases like this today. If it's difficult to approach a man, try to seduce him by approaching his wife and bribing her or doing something to win her favor. There have been many such cases in history. Even today, chances are that. As is often the case, many Christians receive the temptation of Satan through those who are close to them. Many sisters in faith who at one time managed to get believing lives suffer from the persecutions after marriage. Many fiancés promise, "I will go to church with you when we get married," but after marriage, they change their minds. They even hate their wives going to church and persecute their wives. Even in-laws and other family members hinder them from going to church. Even if there's no persecution, if the family is not evangelized, Christians will be subject to various temptations from non-believing family members. Since their unbelieving family members belong to Satan, their family received the instigation of Satan without their knowledge. Satan tries to all means to keep those who belong to God as far from their salvation as possible. That's why there's a spiritual warfare within in a family. For this, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, 35 to 36, "For I came to set a man against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's enemies will be the members of his household." Let's look at the cases where families that have been peaceful were broken by accepting the gospel. They became the discordant. Family members fight among themselves, a husband fight with their wives, brothers fight, relatives attack and fight. Why? Some people are good and have accepted the gospel, but those who are not so good without even knowing it immediately persecute those who become Christians and the church. This is how discord arises in a family. One side receives the work of the Holy Spirit, while other sides receive the work of Satan. As a result, they fight and the discord and the various problem arises. So there's a good way to avoid such a discord. What is that? Just don't accept Jesus. Just don't go to church. But the final path is hell. So isn't that the path you can never choose? If you have a faith and a heart of understand the truth, so you should naturally choose the path that leads to heaven. You should not interpret what he said literally. Our Lord doesn't bring discord to the family, nor does he make the family members become enemies towards each other. When they didn't believe in God, they all belonged to Satan. Once they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they no longer become the children of a devil but of God. In this way, the Lord said that even within a single family, there is a spiritual war between those who belong to God and those who belong to Satan. Most of you have experienced this war at home among your relatives. In order not to be defeated in this spiritual warfare, you should accomplish the truth in your heart. It's because what unbelieving family members often say seems ethically plausible. It is likely that the family may enjoy the peace only if the believers yield their faith. This kind of a faith that compromises in pursuit of the peace ends up handing over control to Satan, eventually using the excuse that they are seeking peace in their family. Their faith becomes lukewarm. However, even if a family practices a religious life together, they must always be on guard because they may be tempted by Satan. Say a wife tells her husband what has happened in the church, but her account contains the begrudging, the complaining, and the words against the church leaders or other brothers and sisters in faith. She was hurt in her heart at her church, and then she complained about what happened at church. If her husband loves her in a fleshly way, he will agree with the wife and go along with her. Really? Did they do that? They should not have done so. He echoes the wife's words. He doesn't discern that things correctly by the truth, but he judges others together with his wife. In this case, strictly speaking, the husband is being incited by the Satan through his wife. If you have a freshly affection among the family members or friends, then your discernment about them becomes third. That's why the Galatians chapter 5, 24 says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and the desires. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, that is the sons and the daughters of God, the people of God have crucified the flesh with its passions and the desires. There are many people who know that this church is with God, that God is with that the church, that His power is manifested, and that there is an order sufficient for salvation, but they cannot break their attachment of their family and move to other church. Does attachment lead to heaven? Does it lead to New Jerusalem? Does it save us? It's just a feeling. Attachment belongs to the flesh. If you feel spiritually, it's most important to love God, know God, and have the word of the life with God, and the miraculous signs and the power that God shows through His presence is the most valuable. Still, many people live a life of faith based on the emotional bonds with the people. Desires can make your discernment dull, and so can the fleshly attribute of the affections and the passion. If there's a dispute, you will take the side of your family and you think it's right. However, if you are truly a man of God, you must follow the truth exactly and act according to the truth. Therefore, the people of Jesus Christ should possess not to fleshly passion, but a spiritual love. If you cling to the fleshly affection of your people, you may walk the path along with them. In a worst case, you may go to the death together with them. Even if it seems that you may be in discord with your family, you should choose the way of a life. Crucify your passions and the desires. Only then can you ultimately lead your family to salvation and a spiritual path. Because you haven't cut off your passion and desires, your children are still learning to emulate your falsehood. If you raise your children with affections, they will speak comfortably to each other and treat each other like friends. But as they grow up, they will later start speaking informally to their parents. It seems friendly at the beginning when they are casual conversation between parents and kids, but later they even speak harshly to their parents. It's necessary for parents and the children to be moderate in their actions and the speech. However, we see families where no distinctions between the upper and the lower classes. Even though our Lord's disciples lived together for 3 years, they never dared to ask the Lord what they really wanted to know. If they didn't understand what the Lord said, they didn't dare to ask Him anything they were curious about. Is it because the Lord is cold-hearted? It is because He lacks love and affection? No. Let's say He simply treated them with affection, then those disciples must have crossed the line. If you only get close to people on a human level, you will start to speak comfortably and the order will break down. And then respect and the consideration disappear between two. Even if a family goes to the church together, we must be able to teach them with love when they behave in a way that goes against the truth. If you go along with them to please them, you love your family in a fleshly way. When the relationship between parents and the children becomes so deeply rooted in the attachment, the children tend to ignore their parents' advice. That doesn't mean that you should be too strict. That will discourage your children, and that's not good either. You need to handle everything appropriately and wisely. There's a line that shouldn't be crossed for either. Even though you may feel awkward for a moment, as you help them realize and discern things by the truth, they help them to ride on the spiritual flow. However, you should not misuse what I just said. You should not neglect your duties in your family, doing the work for the church without a reservation. As a parent, child, wife, or husband, you should do what you are supposed to do. You should look over your family spiritually, love them spiritually, and serve them with your heart. Sometimes I see people who have duties as mother and father have duties as fathers, but they use the church as an excuse to avoid fulfilling those duties. They all make excuses for neglecting their duties at home by their busy church work. That is not right. We must look at our families as souls, love them with our spirits, and serve them with our hearts. When guiding a family member who has no faith or weak faith, we must understand their position and help them follow the truth. You must not force or intimidate them, saying like, "You should not do that. If you do, you will go hell. You have to do it this way." You shouldn't use this kind of expression. You must first experience the happiness of the living according God, the Word, and then able to share that happiness. Now, let's take a look at what kind of words Satan used through the serpent to deceive Eve. Genesis chapter 3:1 says that he said to woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden?" If you study the words the servant used, you can see that every word contains the intention to tempt Eve. Those of you who have entered the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, you must examine each of these things and examine yourselves. You must be able to discern just by hearing a single word from other person, whether they are trying to deceive you or whether they try to want it to glorify God. First off, the words you should pay attention is the indeed. You should be aware that even this single word can become a baited a trap. When people wanted to put an emphasis on what they are saying, they use a word like indeed. However, in this Genesis verse, it has a totally different meaning from this. Satan intentionally used this word to deny the fact that God has forbidden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For example, in conversation, one may say, is it really true? Is it usually used to reconfirm what all others say is true or not? However, it is also used to deny what is spoken. The reason we ask that it is true is to confirm, and also because we do not completely believe it. Is it expression that contained a bit of the doubts like, is it actually hard to believe what you said? Likewise, as Satan used the word indeed, it tried to make her deny the fact that God has forbidden the tree of the knowledge. It was to bring confusion to the one who was asked a question. To help you understand better, here's an allegory. You talk to someone about something that you are 100% certain that is true. Now, suppose the one who listened to you asks a question, is it indeed true? Not just once, but he repeated the question, really? Are you sure? So indeed, is it true? Huh? Now, how do you feel about your former certainty? Your confidence about the things may be fading away. As he doubts and talk about it negatively, you too find yourself hesitating about the certainty you initially had. Is what I knew really true? What if I'm wrong? Your confidence becomes weaker and weaker. Eventually, you may stop back and you may say, I will check that again. When Satan asked the question to Eve, it was waiting for this. Eventually, Eve became the weakened just as Satan wanted. Then Satan distorted what God commanded concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said that you will surely die in the day you eat from it. But Eve said that God had said that you will die. You will surely die, spoken by God, means there's no way to live to you. If God said so, it means there's no way to live, and there's not a statement that can't be changed. But Eve fell for the serpent's temptation and answered, he said you will die. A word surely? It's just a single word difference, but Satan is taking advantage of this. This is the trap it uses. This happens a lot in our daily lives and in businesses. There are many cases where people fall for such a deception, and especially our young people who are still immature and lack the worldly experience are very likely fall for such a talk. That's why so many crimes are committed. Those who accomplish the truth completely do not sway in any situation. No matter what others say, the truth is truth, and the falsehood is falsehood. Say the capital city of the U.S. is the Washington, D.C. Is it true? Right? Is it really true? Someone says like, I believe that for a long time in U.S. and Washington is just only one. Now think about what would happen in the following situation. You are being interviewed publicly and your waiting number is 30. The interviewer asks the candidate number one, what is the capital of the United States? Number one answers New York. You'd think, oh, that's wrong. Number two also answers New York. You'd think, oh, that guy's wrong too. Number three also answers New York. You'd probably think, oh my gosh, that's wrong too. But number four, five, and six to 29 all continue to say that the capital of the United States is New York. But can you be sure that the answer you know is correct? Or maybe you're thinking, oh, did the capital of the United States change without me knowing? Or maybe I've been mistaken? Now everybody says, it's New York. Okay, so everyone up to number 29 has answered New York, and now it's your turn. Now, let me ask you, what is the capital of the United States? I don't think many of you would confidently answer Washington, D.C. You will be confused as to whether you were mistaken or whether the capital changed without your knowing. It's because everyone answered it's New York. So, almost people faced this situation. They would answer, okay, it's New York. This phenomenon occurs because there's a cunning mind that seeks self-interest. In such cases, applicants number 30 might worry, I'm the only one who argues differently from them, so what if I suffer a disadvantage? What if I'm marginalized or ignored? Then even though they know it's wrong, chances are that they take other side. The children that God the Father desires are those who are completely devoid of the deceit and who can be truthful in any situation. Father God is pleased with those who have an arrived heart to choose the truth even in a life-threatening situation. You should not misunderstand this either. If you are in a situation when both options are good, you'd better keep the peace even if your idea looks better. Even if you choose the second best option, it's still better to keep the peace than choosing the best option. Actually, it's the best way. However, your heart should not sway with what is not true. First, unrighteousness and lawlessness. Those who are honestly don't say truly or honestly. Let's fix this way of expressing ourselves. Is it true? Is it real? Is it true? You say these things a lot, but when you hurt changes, those expressions will disappear. If they make a confession of a love for someone, I really love you. If you love someone, you say, I really love you, then it's clearly a lie without even realizing it. People who often use the word really have a force attributes within them that they don't even know about. They just say, I love you, and it's enough if it's true. If you truly love someone, you don't need to say really. If you read the Gospel of John, however, you may find many verses that our Jesus said truly, truly. In the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, such a verse is not found. There are verses which have a truly just once in a sentence. The word truly is used twice in a sentence. It reflects the personality of the Apostle John. Apostle John was desperately put great emphasis on the word of Jesus, and it was reflected. However, the reason the saying Satan in the text added truly was not emphasized or affirmed. Satan intentionally used the word indeed to make Eve deny the word of God. Dear brothers and sisters, the next word you should pay attention to is the word you. In the conversation with Eve, the serpent used a plural form of you, as is indicated from the response of Eve in the verses 2. It implies that the serpent made not only Eve but also Adam his target. Eventually, addition, the fact that the serpent used the plural form of the you explained that the serpent already knew that God forbid not only Eve but also Adam from eating from the tree. And it used the plural form of a you, he intended for Eve to speak for Adam as well. That's even though Eve replied with her own thought, it carries the intent that Adam's thought would be also the same. It's because the plural form of a you already included Adam. Therefore, the reply of Eve could become the reply of both of the Adam and Eve. Eve didn't notice this intention of the serpent. The serpent knew about it, and he made the reply of the woman become a snare to Adam. Those who are truthful and keep their place are not deceived by even such a single word. Let's say one wants to receive the mission group's opinion about the certain item. Now, you, the vice president of the group of God, the call. The person collecting the opinion is in a hurry and cannot connect the president, so he urges you, the vice president, to inform him. In this case, chances are that you will respond with your personal opinion. However, your opinion could be understood to the opinion of the entire group. Even though it may be the opinion that all members of the group agreed with it, it must be a president who officially announces it. If you are truthful and keep your place, you won't announce the opinion of the group carelessly. Because you don't think your words are representative, you would rather answer, either rather ask if the president. Even if the situation is urgent, you must obtain the president's approval before passing the passage. Likewise, those who are pure in heart will not miss even a single word, but filter it out. However, Eve did not know that Satan's words through the serpent contained evil intentions because she had not been subject to human cultivation. Moreover, he was close to the serpent, and so she relaxed her guard when he talked with the serpent. Dear brothers and sisters, now we have to pay attention to the next word, any. The serpent said to women, "Has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" It's like digging a trap and luring someone into it. A very wise person will not fall into the trap, but most people will. God truly said, "You shall not eat from."
따라서 만일 정말 사실 확인을 위해 묻는다면 하나님께서 너희더러 선악과를 먹지 말라 하시더냐 했어야 합니다. 그런데 뱀은 동산 모든
The reason the serpent asked this was to confuse Eve. It was a throughout the bait. If God had asked Eve
이렇게 동산
If the serpent had asked Eve, did God tell you not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Eve would have answered yes. Then there will be no room for confusion. But what about the question? You will not eat from any tree of the garden. The very wise person will not fall into this trap, but most people will. The judge, prosecutor, or detective often repair the questioning framework in advance and lead to leading the questions, and most people ended up falling for this question.
만일 선악과를 먹지 말라 하시더냐라고 물었다면 하와는
If the serpent had asked Eve, did God tell you not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Eve would answered like yes. But what about the question? The serpent God said, you will not eat from any tree of the garden. This is not what God said, but it's used this tactic to deceive the lead Adam and Eve astray. This question led Eve to thought about, no, the serpent knew it and distorted the fact craftily and induced her to think negatively. Let me tell you, sorry to help you understand better. A son and his mother went to the swimming pool. The mother warned her son never to swim in the deep in the pool. The son obeyed his mother. He didn't go to the deeper water, but played in the shallow water. Now, there was an evil man. He wanted to hurt the son and tried to make him to go to the deeper water. If the evil man had said to a boy, let's swim in the deep water, would the boy listen to him? The son would say, my mother told me never to swim in the deeper water. Then the evil man couldn't have a talk to him any longer. Now, the man said to boy, did your mother truly tell you never to swim in the water? Then the boy would give him a negative answer. Because mother never actually told him not to go into the water. She said he should go into the shallow water to play, not to deeper water. It's because his mother didn't tell him never to swim in the water. He might add his own thought and say, mother said it would be all right to swim in the shallow water. Then the evil man could say, it's okay to swim in the deeper water. Your mother just wanted you to be careful. It's much more fun in the deeper water than the shallow water. He might deceive the boy like this. Likewise, the serpent knew what kind of a question it had to ask Eve to get the answer the way it wanted it. There are words that people say out of the habits. One of them is any, or everything, or everyone, all. In fact, it's not all, but people use the word all or any or every, emphasize the fact. For example, someone is late for lunch and he finds only a little bit of the food left. And then he may say, oh, you ate them all. You ate them all while I was away. It's a sad expression. It means you should have saved some, eaten together, waited a little longer. But you ate it up. To empathize this further, they also say, there's nothing to eat. There's nothing left to eat. You ate it all. Expressions like that are often used between older siblings as you grow up. Mom, my brother ate everything. Why didn't you save anything for me? He didn't leave anything for me. It's an expression of a regret. Then the speaker may feel dissatisfied, and the listeners may be also feel uncomfortable. A small word can cause hurt feelings between two people. How many of you have experienced this? I see it so often amongst us. Still, immature students, that they get emotional over trivial things, bicker and fight. But a good and honest person does not use these words carelessly. Rather, they think of the other saying, "Oh, you left food for me, even though I was late." I wonder if everyone else had enough. These words convey feeling of shame for being late and consideration for other people, which puts a listener at ease. Every word a person uses contains his or her heart. A single word can create a difference in a listener's thoughts, and it results a difference in actions. I hope you can remember this well and speak only the honest and the true words all the time.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.